This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. Good afternoon on a wet Sunday afternoon. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column comment. Today in history on August 9, New Zealand Hit Parade. Chart.org.nz, history and song. We remember August 9, 1967. At 1 o'clock, we've got a weather update. We've got international politics with Gary Schofield and Dwayne Porter and Trevor's talk before 2 o'clock this afternoon. On 6 August 2026, the Hamilton City Council voted 12-3 against submitting a voluntary Head Start amalgamation proposal to the central government. The decision, the council rejected a proposed Western Unitary Authority that would have merged Hamilton with the Waikato, Waipa, South Waikato and Taupo districts. The reason, councillors expressed strong frustration over a rushed 3-month time frame, a lack of financial analysis regarding setup costs, and the inability to properly consult local residents. Mayor Tim McIndoe and other leaders noted that the preferred metropolitan merger choices for Hamilton were rejected by neighbouring councils. The consequences by opting out of the voluntary Head Start phase ahead of the government's August 2026 deadline. Hamilton will now enter the backstop process. This means local government reforms. I repeat, this means local government reforms and boundaries for the city will be instead be directly designed and dictated by central government ministers. And that minister is Simon Watts. And what did Watts have to say about this? Well, he's not happy because he put in a call, a late night call to Tim. And Watts is the Minister for Local Government. Watts issued a strict ultimatum in May 2026. Lead your own reform or we'll do it for you. The ultimatum Watts set an August 26 deadline. The late night phone call to Tim on the eve of the Hamilton City Council's vote. Watts made the proposal phone call to Hamilton Mayor Tim. Watts strongly pressured the council to opt in, making it clear that if Hamilton rejected the voluntary phase, that they would not be at the table to help design the final layout and enforcing the backstop. Watts warnings the council overwhelmingly 12-3 to reject the Head Start process. So now we're in a phase that the government will dictate to Hamilton. The story will continue. It is 17 minutes to 1 o'clock, 231-144, August 9, 2026. 1930 this day, All Black fullback George Nepia plays his last rugby test.
The rolling sea is beckoning to me, where the tui is singing sweet lay. Sure, I'm going back to that old humble shack.
This day in 1967 in entertainment, writer Joe Orton entertaining Mr. Sloan, Lute killed by his boyfriend Kenneth Halliwell, who then killed himself.
Under dreaming spies to Ichiku Park, that's where I've been.
What did you do there? What did you feel there?
Well, I cried.
That's why the tears there.
And this day in 1961, former New Zealand Prime Minister Sir John Key was born. He's 64 today.
When you were just a little papoose, I had my eyes on you. Now you've all grown up and prettier too. And honey, I'm in love with you. I used to run around your teepee. He used to come out and play.
It was this day in 1945 that 35,000 die when the Americans bombed the Japanese city of Nagasaki.
SGT, the LT, CP, the OD, the MP makes you do cappy. It's a GI giant, man alive. It starts with a bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Hey, Jack, that's a GI.
This day in 1936, British actor. Sorry, this day in 1927, British actor Robert Shaw, Jaws, was born. Shaw died in 1978. This day in 1936, Jesse Owens Jesse Owens wins his fourth gold medal at the Berlin Olympics. And it was this day in 1899, Australian-American writer and actress P.L. Travers, who wrote Mary Poppins, was born, dying 1996. It is quite interesting that Dick Van Dyke turned to 101 in the last week. So remembering Dick Van Dyke, P.L. Travers, and of course Julie Andrews.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad, my father gave me nails at week and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say, we ain't the nose.
The biggest word you ever heard. And this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He travelled all around the world, and everywhere he went, he'd use his word and all would say, there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word and then they ask me out to tea.
Ooh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Docious alley expiastic fragicali rufus, but that's going a bit too far, don't you think? So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully or it could change your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is too.
She's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes, Dame Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke from the soundtrack of Mary Poppins, and you know the song well. Yes, P.L. Travers was born this very day around 1899. Excuse me. The New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz, history and song. Well, Wednesday, August 9, 1967, Country Roundabout on 1XH, 6 a.m. the breakfast session, 9 to midday, we had the Shopping Reporter and Cooking with Graham Kerr. Between midday and 6 p.m. the lunch show, at 2 o'clock, Cassie Russell, who I believe is still alive here in Hamilton, telephone time, egg recipes with Alison Hulst and the Archers from the BBC at 4 o'clock. Between 6 p.m. and midnight, Hotline International. And that wasn't it. We've got a song that's coming up. That was the number one song in New Zealand this week, and it's going to come up very, very shortly here at Free FM 89.0. We'll put in the right CD, and it says the number ones, and we should get Procol Harum, and of course the song called The Whiter Shade of Pale, take two. Harum, number one this day, New Zealand, 1967, A Whiter Shade of Pale. Back to the council business, and looks we're in for a big fight in the city. Well, Jamie Strange was one of three councillors who voted against the proposal of Tim McIndoe. Jamie Strange said during a tense council meeting, 12-3, rejecting the proposed Western Waikato Unity Authority, and the majority opted for a backstop approach, effectively letting central government to dictate the final process. Jamie Robbie Niha and Maria Huata. Strange said, he strongly advocated for the Head Start pathway. He expressed that it is critical for Hamilton to remain active in negotiations rather than being reactive. On social media, he noted that by opting for the government's backstop, central government would choose to completely bypass further engagement with the local council and simply enforce an amalgamation model of its choosing. We'll keep you informed, and it'll come up on our council programs here at Free FM 89.0. I know the proposal to amalgamate is not popular here in Hamilton with many. That's not popular in Waipa and other. I know other councils are going to amalgamate, but do you want our city run by central government? Remember, we're less than 100 days away from the election, and it seems that the government is in a bit of strife at the moment with the one and only Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, saying, oh, in the next government we're going to have a referendum on MMP, which kind of surprised the rest of his colleagues as National in the polls keeps going down. So, as they say, what's the space? 4 minutes to one. Excuse me. Well, it was nearly 10 years yesterday that a famous American singer-songwriter actor died, Glenn Travis Campbell. He was popular in the 60s and 70s for his music, the music of Jimmy Webb and others. Playing the bagpipes. Yes, he did versions of Mull of Kintyre and Amazing Grace and the William Tell Overture. His most famous partnership was with Jimmy Webb. This is 1969.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. I still see her standing by the water, standing there looking out to sea. And is she waiting there for me on the beach where we used to run? Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying before I dry the tears she's crying, before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun at Galveston.
Galveston. 1 minute to one, we're heading towards the weather update. That is Galveston, Glenn Campbell, who died nearly 10 years ago yesterday. Well, as I said, Dick Van Dyke has come up 101. We'll just check on the date of his birth as we go into Wikipedia. And, of course, he was born on 13 December 2025. Well, that's a fair way away, but he is coming up 101. He was born December 13, 1925. So if he lasts that long, he'll come up 101 in nearly Christmas time. Sorry to frighten you, but yep, he is coming up 101 in December. And, of course, he's most famous for this television show alongside Mary Poppins. Corrected myself here. Dick Van Dyke will be 101 in December this year. The Dick Van Dyke Show. Looking at the weather forecast, rain heavy at times, clearing to fine early evening. Areas of fog tonight. Northerlies dying out this afternoon. For tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of a shower. And, of course, areas of fog tomorrow morning, light winds, afternoon sea breezes, sunset this evening, 5:30, sunrise tomorrow morning at 7:09 a.m. 15 degrees in the city, forecast high currently on 13 degrees. We've got the BBC Orchestra right now, remembering Robert Shaw, born this day around 1927. Oh, this will scare you over lunch. your lunch going down? If you're having fish this afternoon, does that put you off the fish? The theme from Jaws, the theme to a movie franchise, Steven Spielberg. When was the last time you were, of course, in the water? In the same theme, people in New Zealand probably don't remember a television series called The Twilight Zone. We'll try this. The theme, of course, to the one and only Twilight Zone. That brings back a few memories for everybody, does it? Yeah, it scared a few people there too. Let's try another one. Let's move on. This is actually from an album called I Just Love Halloween. And what are we going to play? Oh, we got to play this. This is from the 90s. There was a television series called 6 Feet Under. And this is from playing from the Randy Newman score. And here we go. This is 6 Feet Under.
Thank you.
That is the theme to 6 Feet Under. That was a very strange series. You probably remember watching it. Well, we've been remembering 1967. And remember a series that starred Patrick McNee as secret agent John Steed. And, of course, Emma Peel. Yeah, Diana Rigg. Remembering 1967 and, yeah, the Avengers theme from the Laurie Johnson Orchestra. What else happened in 1967 other than Mary Poppins? There were other things happening in 1967, yeah. Yeah, we're just remembering P.L. Travers today and many other things today. And another Disney hit, remembering 1967, was this track from Phil Harris from the soundtrack of The Jungle Book.
With tuppence for paper.
No, not that one. Let's try this one. Oh, we'll get there slowly, but yeah, no, we'll go with Glen Campbell because yesterday was it's nearly 10 years since he died. And this is Try a Little Kindness.
Standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. Don't walk around the down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've
Street. Yes, Glen Campbell, and try a little kindness. Okay, news headlines at 6:17 past one. The firearms license revoked. Destiny revoked. Destiny Church leader Brian Tamaki announced that police have revoked his firearms license. Hamilton amalgamation decision. Hamilton has voted no to local government amalgamation, voting down McIndoe's proposal. Election and budget rules. The National Party has announced its party list for the upcoming 2026 general election and pledged new budget responsibility rules. Auckland stabbing. A person is in a critical condition following an alleged early morning stabbing on Karangahape Road. I used to live near there. And weather warnings. Met Service has issued road snowfall warnings for the South Island mountain passes and the desert roads. So if you're a trucker, there's no warnings on the desert road. It's 19 past one.
The simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Just try and relax. Yeah. Cool it. Fall apart in my backyard. Because let me tell you something, little wretches. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you. Look for the necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean a bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Yeah, with just the bare necessities of life.
Yeah. Yeah, that is from The Jungle Book, remembering 1967, Phil Harris and the Bare Necessities. It's 23 minutes past one. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon. It's only about 3 weeks ago that the Indian community of New Zealand turned out to greet on a flying visit here the Prime Minister of the homeland, the Republic of India. Today is another big occasion when we're welcoming people to witness various traditions of food, music, dance and dress. Suman Kapoor tells us what's happening today.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. We are going to celebrate Sawan, which means the monsoon season, and the season of happening, the green. And because in India, it's very hot in June, month of June, July. And then we have monsoon. So everybody is very happy. But here in New Zealand, we have Matariki these days. We celebrated. So conjoining with them, we are having some of the stars, some of the moon, happening, the programs giving birth to new ideas, new saplings, and new life. So we are celebrating with some meditation, yoga, and the breathing techniques, because we need it for our holistic wellness. And that's the new sapling in life. Yoga is not only for one day. And we will not be, sitting on ground or making some postures. But there is a learned faculty from Art of Living. And she will be telling us the right way what we should do every day. Yoga is for 365 days. Every day is a yoga day. Let's celebrate it in that way. And following this, we will be having some cultural performance. We will be having from various regions of India, like Uttar Pradesh, Haryana, Bihar, Kashmir. And going not very far, we will be at West Bengal also. So let's see, this much we can accommodate this time, restore for next time. And then we will be having contest, which the contest is about how the costumes we are using, in a way it is telling our coming generations what traditions we follow. And we also, we have to follow the social cohesion. We are here in Aotearoa and the celebration is in togetherness in India. The Punjab also you will see here, the kids are dancing and performing. So after that, the contest will bring one winner. One will be Sawan Queen, one will be Sawan Princess, and one will be the Sawan Samrat, that is King of the Monsoon. So Princess of the Monsoon and Queen of the Monsoon, and there will be question answers, there will be fun time. And we are also having the food, cultural food available to purchase, and that is the street food of India. And then we have the costumes stall, and we have the jewelry stall. We have a lot more fun, the henna tattoo. People can come. It's a free entry. Everyone welcome. Free entry, come. And those who join first at 4 o'clock will get a T-shirt, the yoga T-shirt, if you know. We have distributed earlier also. So that's what we are planning to do today in presence of our VIPs, lots of VIPs available, and our Consulate General Office people coming from Oakland. And we have a dance performer, very renowned dance performer from Tamil Nadu, that is Ratna Venkat, very famous.
Nothing better on a dreary day
editor
like
of
this.
Indian News Link.
Suman Kapoor, thank you for that. People of all cultures invited to the Hamilton venue in Fitiora at Phoenix Hall. That's at 22 Richmond Street in Hamilton.
Yes, I repeat, Phoenix Hall, 22 Richmond Street, Fitiora, Hamilton.
And entry is free. Thank you for that update.
Thank you.
Hope it all goes well. It's a lot of work.
That's great. Have a great afternoon. 28 minutes past 1 o'clock. In 1979, there was a movie called Apocalypse Now, starring Martin Sheen, Marlon Brando, Robert Duvall, Harrison Ford. From the soundtrack of Apocalypse Now, you know this particular tune. London Symphony Orchestra, and of course that is a ride of the Valkyries.
Once it was the red New Zealand Post letterboxes. Next to go were telecoms phone booths. They seem to be disappearing overnight from our streets. Now we notice how our ATMs apparently migrate somewhere not to be seen again. Mano Manoharam sets out in search of the vanishing money machines. Manu.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. Manu here.
What is the problem with these ATMs?
The ATM machines, we had about 2,000 machines in the start. Gradually, it has reduced to 1,000. And now the machines owned by the banks are disappearing. And they are taken over by two different companies. One is Next and the other one is another one. One is owned by overseas. The other one is a locally owned Next other one. And the machines, people have their own money in the bank. and to withdraw their own money from these machines, they had to pay a commission to the machine. That's $2.50 for each withdrawal. A person who is on benefit, unemployment benefit, to withdraw their money, they had to pay $2.50 from the machine. But there are no banks now. Banks have been, branches have disappeared, one or two branches. And those two branches also have only a couple of staff. Earlier we had about four or five staff, now only two staff. And there's a big queue to go and see the teller there. So gradually the banks are disappearing and ATM machines are disappearing. So it's hard for people to use any machine. Even the supermarkets, you can't withdraw more than $200. They won't give more than $200. That's the situation in Hamilton now.
And the Reserve Bank, what's its role?
The Reserve Bank had asked, had said that they will introduce more machines. But the more machines are the privately owned machines which are coming up. Now, in Hamilton, they were owned by banks like Westpac and the ANZ and BNZ. Those machines are being removed, and the privately owned machines have been installed. So it's hard for people to pay commission to withdraw their own money. They are not taking a loan from the bank. It's their own money in the bank.
Does this mean banks are owned overseas and now that the local ATMs are too owned by those banks? Is that the effect?
The banks are owned overseas. Even BNZ is owned by overseas, and one of the politicians said that they are going to buy that machine bank back to New Zealand. Now the machines are, one machine is owned by overseas, the other machine is owned by a private company here, not by the bank. And we are paying money to take our own money from the bank.
And, what's
and
the
if you go into the bank, you can't withdraw money from the bank teller. They say if you are withdrawing from the teller, you have to pay a commission to the bank. But they say go and withdraw it from the machine outside.
Mano, to do with the post boxes, there is a post box still sitting on Victoria Street because I used it the other day to return some mail to sender. So there is a post box that covers both overseas and New Zealand mail. So there is one still on Victoria Street.
What does Consumer New Zealand say on the matter?
Saying about the post boxes, now recently I had to post a letter and the envelope I received at a DX mail, I had to post it in the DX mailbox. I went around this city to look for a DX mailbox, and finally I found one inside the Anglesey Street Medical Center, inside the building. The people can't see from the road. They have to go into the building to find a DX mailbox inside the building.
Well, it's for the people who need the money in hand that they served. Any commercial interest that restricts the range of availability of ATMs could consume, could face a reaction, shall we say.
Apocalypse.
No, it seems the way of the world. Do you think so, Manu?
Yeah, what you say is correct,
Mano,
I'll agree if they had to pay a commission for taking a loan or something like that. This is not a loan. It's their own money.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Mano, we'll have to get back to you another week because there could be big trouble in Hamilton over local body changes. Hamilton City Council has voted no to one of the proposals, and I think we've had a warning from the Minister of Local Body, Simon Watts, yeah, that something terrible could happen here in Hamilton. Hey, thank you, Mano.
Okay, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Orchestra and the Ride of the Valkyries. And right now, Mel, who are we talking to?
In that strange concoction of bubbling potence and politics, the American president comes by some bewildering views that baffle policy analysts. Let's look at the example of oil prices, as Americans would say, the price of gas. Its fluctuations are attributed to market forces at work, sometimes up, sometimes down. That's orthodox economics, we say, and profit is a part of it for someone. It has President Trump stumped as he spoke out aloud, taking the crowd into his confidence. He stated, "Something terrible is happening." Gary Schofield, our commentator.
Well, yes, very good point, and people might be baffled, but I don't think there has been a president in the past that has ever come out against oil companies in any fashion. They're usually in lockstep with policies, the belief in the capitalists, the free markets, all the rest of that. So it's quite an extraordinary thing for the president to say they're making too much money. This is what he's saying about the oil giants Exxon and Chevron. So Trump urged them to slash their retail fuel prices and accused them of hiking wartime prices. It's too much money. You're surprised I'm saying it, he said. I'll say it loud and clear. The president added, that's extraordinary for a president to do that. And we, I believe, should listen. So, interestingly, Chevron made $12 billion quarterly profit there at that rate, and Exxon 14.5. So Chevron has a profit that hasn't been achieved in 6 years, and these are like double the figures from this time last year. So while all of us have been suffering with these terrible prices, and let's face it, we are told every day the significance of oil or gas prices, as they say in the US, because everything is hinged upon it. Our supply chains are hinged upon it. The price of inflation, all the other things that people talk about, the future economy of the country is hinged upon it, as we're told. And yet, remarkably, a quiet and dearth of voices to follow up and ask the questions. What can be done to check oil companies that choose to make such an enormous profit while the world is suffering? And what can be done in our own country? And I know Nicola Willis alluded to it and kind of blamed Trump for the, if he could do anything better, I think she said he could end that war and that would help the situation. But why not deal with what oil companies are actually doing? What laws or actions could we take to mitigate it and what should we do for the future? And I'm still waiting for these questions and this action to be taking place.
Good afternoon, Gary. How are we?
We're doing very well, and I hope you're not suffering too much at the pump yourself.
No, because I don't drive, so I don't have to worry. So
yes, but it filters through to every little commodity and everything that you do.
Yep. Anyway, what do Donald Trump, Miss Hanson, Pauline Hanson in Australia, and Winston Peters have in New Zealand? I'll give you a clue.
Yes. What the hell happened?
Are you reconsidering her role?
I don't know what. You don't. You're fake news. Don't ever talk again. You're fake news. One of the
Hello?
Worst in the business.
Yes. Yep. Treating the media badly, and of course, Winston Peters this week sent a reporter out of his office, told him to turn his camera off, and then Pauline Hanson had a go at ABC, and there you go, Donald Trump having a go at MSNBC, calling them fake news. Yes, the media getting it on all sides of the Atlantic and all around the world, Gary.
It is, and on that score, if I may, and I seldom do, but I do occasionally comment on New Zealand. I like to keep it in the US. But I'm kind of shocked that we have Radio New Zealand, very central part, very respected media in the country, of course, and they pre-announce each time that they give you the news to tell you that this is news that you can trust. This is their new slogan. I question it completely. Because the last thing you want to do, like if somebody comes up to you and introduces themselves and say, I'm honest, that's going to be a red light right there.
Yeah.
Why not let your expertise speak for itself? And I would recommend that they don't have such a terrible slogan.
Well, comes down to the men in the back room or the woman in the back room. It's nothing to do with the news reader. They just told what to read. They just read they just read the screen like many a good news reader over the past.
But journalists, of course, all over the world are coming into a lot of criticism. Journalists are killed on the front lines of these constant wars. There is no shortage of grief for what's left of our investigative journalists in the world, and I miss them terribly.
Well, I did watch one of the podcasts of Jim Acosta this week. He was talking about the failure to get a conviction to do with the Lincoln Memorial pool in Washington.
That has
gone down the gurgler, and Trump's not very happy. He's not very happy with his secretary. So she's probably out the door next week.
And he's got a new one, the new Pam Bondi. What's his name?
Todd Blanche.
That's him. Todd Blanche. He's a new fellow. He just got confirmed by a whisper and by a whisker, and he's going to be held to account, as they say, fervently, because they're concerned that he didn't come forth with a lot of the information on Epstein. They're worried that he's going to be favoring the administration. So we'll see how that plays out.
Well, we're less than 100 days out from the midterms and New Zealand elections, so we're getting into a great period in politics. And, of course, I've just been mentioning today that Hamilton, New Zealand, your hometown, is in a bit of strife with the Minister of Local Government over our stance on being amalgamated with councils from here to Taupo.
Yes. That I'm not familiar with the details of that, so do tell me more. They're in strife because I know they had to present some kind of report of how they would go about doing that. Is that related to that strife?
It kind of had a 12-3 vote against one of the proposals, and our friend Tim McIndoe got a call from Simon Watts late at night, and maybe Hamilton will be told, you got to do this. There's no question. We're going to do it, whether you like it or not.
I see. Well, central government, throughout history, little principalities and little communities have always fought each other. I guess that is the nature of when you form a group. There's always you, us, and them. And so maybe more central government would be better. We'll see how it works. Maybe you could pull resources together. Yep. But there's always resistance to these things, of course, understandably. And as you know, like for 10,000 years, that's what people actually fought militarily over.
Another Christian, Mel.
Their little bit of turf.
Must be hard to be a president. I mean, on the one hand, you've got the bombing to take account of. So much American firepower directed at often quite unarmed communities. And then we've got the ballroom. So between the ballroom and the bombing, how does anyone make sense of it all? The ballroom being at the White House.
Very good point. And on that bombing, you know, the strategy of bombing, I would like to say something, and it goes back to yours and Bruce's great interest in World War II and all the rest of that. So we go back to the Blitz, and you'll remember that just how the Blitz affected the people who were struggling of Britain and the nobility of that cause and how it galvanized people and resolved in World War II. And it didn't galvanize people to hate Churchill. It galvanized people to hate Hitler. So we're applying that same strategy of the bombing strategy in both Iran and in Ukraine, in the war in Ukraine, and by bombing internally inside Russia. So if you apply the same thing, you can't expect that people are going to be angry at Putin for it. They're more likely to be angry at us for it, or the Ukrainians for it, or that war could exacerbate from it. Same with Iran, although in Iran you've got a more fractured society, so anything can happen there. But just saying the general strategy of bombing, we should learn that lesson, the limits of bombing a country and getting the expectation that you wish, and I believe that's what we've discovered yet again in Iran. So, yes, bombing and ballrooms, that ballroom alliteration means that now it's going to the Supreme Court of whether Trump can actually have his own ballroom the way he wants it. I wouldn't be too anxious because it's going to be an issue of should Congress decide how the president should modify the house in which he lives, or should the president? So they might come out on Trump's side on that, but anything can happen.
Anyway, I think a district court judge did rule that Trump's proposed ballroom is out of order. We'll wait till the Supreme Court. Hey, Gary, thanks for your memories, and we'll talk again next week.
Always.
Anyway.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. And talking about the Blitz. The year is 1939. And that's, of course, is In the Mood. It's 9 minutes to two. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views.
And we have Duane Porter with us. Duane, you often give us the benefit of insight into the shipping movements and how that relates to getting oil petrol fuels to New Zealand. There's something that you've devoted a lot of your time and attention to the last year or so.
Yes, I have.
You're learning.
Yep.
Learning in ways that you don't have to, you choose to. Who's in charge?
Well, who's in charge is the disability access people. They're in charge of doing the online computer skills and everything, and also open politics.
And what's the specific field of study that you've undertaken?
Well, I'm doing a level 2 qualifications, Mel. And that's qualifications is that it's building skills and teaching other people to learn how to do the computers.
It must be hard, though, comparing it, say, with our youth. When we were so young, we had teaching that was happening in front of us with a blackboard and so forth. And how do you connect with the people who are helping you?
Well, I'm doing the online computering with people, with the correspondent teachers, and I've got a reader-writer, which she does the teaching in the online computering, and she actually shows me what I need to do.
Well, you're doing it. You've passed a few examples of what you're meant to be doing. How do you feel? How do you feel down under?
Some days you feel stressed. Some days it's just go over the top of your head.
Yep, you've been told not to. You've been told only to do it a couple of hours a week. You just can't. You've got to take a break sometimes.
Yeah, well, they've actually warned me about that.
Yep.
And it's and like the health and well-being checks they're going to do on you.
Yep.
And also that you know, I've been warned so many times about it and been penalised about it. So,
I'll just give you a warning now. I'll be on your case too. Hey, thank you for giving us your
story.
But
I can tell you, it's worth it for everyone to do it for the online course thing. It's a free course, and I can tell you, it builds the skills and the economic. It's like an economical. You know, you've got to be a brain box to operate a computer.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how you cope, but you've got to be a brain box.
Self-taught. I've got a computer screen right in front of me, and it's clicking over right as well.
Yeah, hey, but you've got to be a brain box to do it.
Yep.
And hey, you know.
Hey, I'm disabled too, mate. Just keep it up. 6 minutes to one. Sorry, 6 minutes to two. Coming up, we'll have Trevor's final thoughts for the afternoon. But 1967, radio. And what were we listening to on the radio? We were listening to this. It became New Zealand's national anthem at the time. This is a guy who's just been recently here in New Zealand. This is Engelbert Humperdinck.
I have a band of men, and all they do is play for me. They come from miles around to hear them play a melody.
It's even got Mel dancing like Donald Trump. Hey, we'll put a hold to that at the moment. We'll end with 10 guitars by Engelbert Humperdinck because the 90-year-old was here in New Zealand just recently. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. Well, Winston Peter must have a crystal ball.
Yep.
He's on TV, talking on TV, about lack of employees to fill jobs in the future. The population should increase considerably to meet that demand. I thought, well, that's a bit strange. We live in a technological age where jobs are for people manually are fading away.
Yep.
And then later in the week, a student was being interviewed on TV. Whether there was a connection or not, I'm not sure, but there is a relevance to it, that he was looking for a job. He's a graduate. He's got his certificates and his degrees, clean cut, well groomed, not long hair, no tattoos, and he can't get a job anywhere, any sort of a job.
Yep.
And I thought, well, this is the present day, the way technology is as we stand. What Winston Peters prediction is technology will advance considerably in the next 15 or 20 years when there's supposed to be a demand for employees.
It's been one of those interesting weeks, Trevor, with the vote of the City Council, 12-3, not to go by the proposal for amalgamation. We're in a bit of strife with someone in Wellington right at this present moment. We'll have more over the next coming weeks. You heard my comment just after I came on air.
Refresh my memory.
They've voted not to go with one proposal for amalgamation. We're going to be... The proposal is we become part of a council alongside Taupo. So, anyway, thank you.
Frightening thoughts.
Thank you, guys. We'll leave you with Engelbert Humperdinck, as I said, recently in New Zealand. We'll leave you with 10 guitars. Have a great Sunday night. It's wet, so keep dry. Bye-bye for now. Stand by for Derek and Peter with Harmony Waikato.
They come from miles around to hear them play a melody. Beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what you do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you'll know just where you are. Through the eyes of love you'll see a thousand stars. Oh, when you dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars are made for love, my band of men will always say. So give them all a pretty girl.
Well, that is New Zealand's national anthem, of course, 10 guitars. Engelbert Humperdinck, as I said, 90-year-old plus in New Zealand recently. Still on this, still going strong with Tom Jones and lots others. And that, of course, is 10 guitars. Actually, the B-sider released me, so it was a double-sided hit around the world. Hey, we'll catch you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.